In 2021, North Carolina was shouldering the cost of weight loss drugs like Wegovy for 2,800 state workers. Last year, that number shot to 25,000, $100 million. And last Thursday, the state decided not to pay for any, which means celebrities, people like Elon Musk, who can afford the $1,000 a month for the FDA-approved injectable drugs Ozempic and Wegovy, can still get them. But a nurse in North Carolina told the New York Times finding Wegovy is like winning the lottery. You probably know these drugs were initially developed to treat diabetes, but they also help with obesity. Then people who just wanted to lose weight drove demand so high that diabetics couldn't find any. They're also plant-based, and there aren't enough plants. Well, aside from the shortage, New York University bioethicist Art Kaplan has other concerns. He says this craze reminds him of Viagra. Art Kaplan, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We'll make that connection right away because you write in your essay in a recent issue of Scientific American, Ozempic can be compared to the erectile dysfunction pill Viagra. How so?
Well, it can because of marketing. 25 years ago, Pfizer, who discovered the drug in trying to locate a treatment for high blood pressure, found out that it wasn't able to lower something, but it was able to raise something else. Mm-hmm. In other words, they found out that men on the medicine were getting erections, and they converted that insight into a huge blockbuster drug. Competitors appeared like Cialis, and pretty soon we had a gigantic market for erectile dysfunction. But initially, Pfizer and the other companies tried to keep it to a medical indication, meaning this was really for people who had diabetic issues or atherosclerosis, blood flow issues. But later, the thing exploded, and pretty soon, everybody 30 to 80 was starting to think, well, maybe I'll just get some of this drug and have it with me in case something goes wrong. And I think that could happen easily for the Ozempics and the Wegovys and the other injectables.
Well, first, stay with Viagra. What's the problem of moving it to just a sort of, I'll have this just in case?
Probably the worst problem is that Viagra is a little bit of a Band-Aid. It does help many people get an erection when they can't, but that's a symptom. Something's going on, whether it's nervousness or drinking too much, or more likely for older people, diabetes, something that's really interfering with their circulation, and that's not getting treated. But you do want to worry about it because you're getting a signal from your body that something very well could be amiss. It's not bad or wrong, ethically, to use it as a lifestyle drug. It's more when you have these people who consistently have problems, you want to get that taken care of. And the way we get Viagra these days is online from a doctor from somewhere who we don't know, who we'll never see again. In other words, it's a big telemedicine sale drug now.
Well, so the biggest problem you are thinking about is that people who have the problem of erectile dysfunction weren't finding out why, and so that wasn't being treated. Make the correlation to the weight loss drugs.
So the weight loss drugs are great. They seem to work, and they let people, probably half or more of the people who go on them, lose significant amounts of weight. But they don't change their lifestyle. They're not getting to the issue of what's making them overweight. In a way, they're using the drug, just like Viagra, as a bit of a Band-Aid. As soon as you go off it, you're going to put the weight back on because you haven't made any changes. So just to sell it and say, here, a magic bullet, you can use it as an injectable and it'll be great, means you're going to be on that drug for life, unless you do something about the underlying condition.
Right. You could be very thin and die of a heart attack because of what you've been eating.
Well, that's right. You could still be eating a very high-fat diet, tons of sugar. It's just not showing in terms of converting to fat, but, you know, it could still be damaging your body. One of the worries I have is if we are going to put a huge number of people on these injectables, you know, there are probably 40% of Americans that are obese and other 20% overweight. Just in the U.S., if you were putting a significant number of those people on a $1,000 a month drug with a couple of doctor visits to get it, let's say conservatively $15,000 a year for, I don't know, let's guesstimate maybe 50 million people would be on this forever, you're talking $500 billion.
Right. And somebody may be spending that $1,000 a month that they don't have. you know, cheating on other things. And you guess at 50 million, but it could go much higher than the 50 million you suggest, because there's so many subtle biases, so many, and not so subtle biases, so many jobs, positions require people to look a certain way. You're saying it might be expected that you become thin and svelte.
I do. And you can get a long list of people who, one way or another, for their job, it's going to be important to be at least thinner, if not normal, weight. Add in the vein, you're going to have a pretty big crowd. You know, I think the total amount we spent on all drugs last year was something like $700 billion. Well, this one injectable drug could rival that pretty quickly.
Yeah. And now we also have the direct-to-consumer advertising by drug companies. Lilly's CEO says that's not about sales. Now, this is where you can go online, and they will even provide you with someone willing to prescribe you the medication.
Exactly. So they're cutting out the pharmacy. No middleman, no supervision. Just, hey, come to our telemedicine site, and we'll get a doctor here, and we can get something prescribed for you. They say they're not going to steer people toward their particular brand. I find that impossible to really believe. But what we're seeing is the market is so lucrative that instead of doing direct-to-consumer advertisements, they're just saying, we're going to set up our own distribution system.
Yeah. You're also concerned we don't know the long-term effects of this, and people have to stay on it, you know, pretty much for life. We don't know anything about it and children.
Right. So there's real danger here. Again, I'm not saying to pull them off the market or anything, but we've got to monitor carefully. No one's been on it for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Children, where obesity is also a terrible problem, could be put on it, and we don't know what the impacts will be there. Maybe we'll be lucky and the impacts will be nothing, and the drug will prove very, very safe. But everybody needs to be aware that they're going into a bit of an experiment. If you're going to say, well, the way I maintain my weight is to stay on this drug that I take once a week forever.
Look, I want to underline what you just said. You're not advocating for taking it off the market. For somebody who is morbidly obese, who will die and has tried ways to lose that weight, this seems like a godsend.
It is. This is absolutely a wonder drug for them. But as it spreads out to the rest of the population in the U.S. and, by the way, worldwide, I just worry that the risk-benefit ratio may change. It's one thing to be morbidly obese and stay in a drug. It's another thing to say, I want to look good when I go out on dates, and I'm going to stay on this stuff.
Yeah. Your thoughts on what we've been thinking about, the sort of sense of inadequacy that people who maybe can't afford this or don't want to do this, but they look up on the TV screen and, oh, look, that person on the red carpet looks like they lost like 100 pounds.
Yeah, the pressure.
The pressure. And the same feeling of failure that photoshopping does.
Yeah. I think there will be a real pressure to use, cultural pressure, because we will see people losing weight. We will see more thin people. It will become less common, if you will, to be heavy. The other situation is, we're not really doing anything to change our food industry, which is still pouring sugar into us and, you know, moving fast food upon us and advertising to kids all kinds of things that aren't necessarily good for them. Where's the pressure to really keep going to reform caloric foods?
I'm thinking, too, that the online sales are one step away from phony websites.
100%. By the way, to go back to my earlier analogy, the erectile dysfunction drug business is rife with phony websites, stuff coming in that's fraudulent, where the contents of the drugs are absolutely fake. There's a lot of money to be made here, and it's very tough these days to police the internet, so we're going to have a fraud problem, I'm going to say 100%.
Yeah. Well, that's New York University bioethicist Art Kaplan with his ethical questions about the use of semaglutide drugs like Ozempic for weight loss. They're meant for treatment of diabetes, but have also been okayed by the FDA for weight loss for obese people. They're being used by everybody. We'll link you to his article in Scientific American. Art Kaplan, thank you as always.
Thank you.